How was that? Could you find freeze parts? Did you find some? Did they tell you something interesting, surprising? And how was it to listen to them without trying to help or change or anything like that? Yeah, so.
Well, after Cheryl said that before, then I basically experienced, because I was struggling a little bit because my parts didn't want to go there. But then I realized I was feeling it then. So that was like something just happening in the moment. So then the only thing that really came up for me was like, and I wasn't sure if it was like another part answering, but it was just what came up, which was softening is what would
Softening.
happen.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. I don't know. Like, I want to then extract from that meaning and to give you a narrative around it, but I guess I could interpret it, but I don't know.
No.
Is that helpful?
No, I think it's good to sort of leave the answers as they are, right? It's like, so you say, what would happen if you didn't do, if you didn't freeze? And the answer was softening. Yeah. But I think if you ask what would happen, it's different from asking if I didn't do it, what would be the risk?
Yeah, I mean, just where that goes now is just boundaries. It's like it's all, I think for me is about holding a boundary,
Good.
like a very solid boundary.
Wonderful. Yeah. Good. So the freeze response is an attempt at holding boundary. Wonderful. Does it?
I mean, this thing I know because of the work. So I obviously know it. Not real boundaries as one might develop in therapy and with healthy practice and work and knowledge, right? Not a boundary where it's, I mean, I think of a boundary as a sort of, it's an active, caring, something you're actively involved in, and it's an act of care, and it moves, and it's not some sort of position of stasis, like where you're like, this doesn't feel like a boundary to me. That feels like a numbing out. I don't think of numbing out as the same as a boundary.
No. In English, you're actually very fortunate. You have two words. You have boundary and border. Right. And it was only recently I was introduced to this distinction, but I think it's very good. And we don't have the same in Danish. We don't have two words for it. But where a border is like, it's here, right? It's drawn. This is where the border is. A boundary is where you meet something. So it's very interesting to have that distinction.
Right, so where you meet exactly. Yeah, so that sort of hibernation kind of like, yeah, you're not meeting anything. It's almost like a kid would like close their eyes and pretend it's not happening kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
You're not meeting anything. You meet your in some sort of inner numbness, but nothing in the real world, not really.
Have you ever experienced that I'm just asking because this is a common experience, but have you ever experienced that the freeze makes you easier to run over?
Yeah, it easier to run over. Yeah, I mean it's a complete lack of agency. I don't. It's a yeah, run over. It's interesting use of words. Well,
Yeah. So it's easier for people to pass your boundaries or go over your boundaries when you freeze. And I saw many people nodding, right? It's like this is a common experience. What happens? Does that resonate for you?
Well, I can get there by going the other way, which is I know what a healthy boundary is.
Yeah.
And I know this feels nothing like that.
Yes, but also I'm particularly interested in whether you have concrete experiences or can recall concrete experiences where, because you freeze, it was easier for people to disregard you, to pass your boundaries.
Yeah, I can give a specific example, like a difficult interaction with a sibling. And in that moment, I would say I froze, and I would say it just carried on. In fact, it's just completely invasive because I can't speak. And so at that point, I just have to fucking get through it. Good. It doesn't stop, it just carries on.
So if you want to play a little bit with this?
Sure.
Now, on the one hand, you could feel that when you said, if I don't freeze, I'm afraid that I will have no boundaries, right? On the other hand, you have an experience of freezing, meaning that you lost agency and couldn't have boundaries. So the freeze comes as an attempt to set boundaries and is predicated on the belief I need to freeze in order to have boundaries. And you have experiences that when you freeze, you can't, that will prevent you from setting boundaries. If you just sit with those two for a moment, it's not like you have to decide between the two, but these two don't they don't match, right?
No, they don't match. And I know this, Klaus, but the difficulty is the frozenness is like a thing from the past. It's like some fucking primal animal instinct that, yes, I don't buy into in the slightest. I know as a grown-up.
But see, this is the thing. It's like, so what I'm inviting you to do here is, because many times we have these patterns from the past, then we see, there's something not quite good about it. We create another pattern, and now these two compete. If you have energy, this one wins. When you're stressed out, this one wins. Right?
And this one being this one down the bottom being the freeze?
This one being setting the boundaries through the freeze, the thing from the past. This one being the new thing, right? If you have two patterns where one is competing with the other, it requires effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is why, if I can just invite you, just can you say, tell me, if you set aside this knowledge that you have as an adult for a moment, and just remember the freeze response. When did you feel it last time?
Well, today, like right here in the workshop.
Good.
Shall I go to something else?
No, that's absolutely fine. Whenever it is, it's good.
Okay.
You felt it.
Yeah, and I don't want to go to, particularly don't want to go to that one.
No, of course not. And it's not like you have to, you know, rush into it or anything like that. Now that you are feeling it, can you feel the logic of it as well? Can you feel how, yeah, I get how this is a way of trying to say, ugh, let's put on the brakes.
It's just like a fucking blackout. Just fucking blocks.
Yeah.
Everything. It's just block. Like everything.
Good. So it's very effective.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess I didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
And so
again, it's not that I'm inviting you to go there in the sense that you block everything out now. Yeah. It's more, where in the body do you feel it?
Okay. Well, I feel it right now. I mean, it's so present. So it's like coming up through my chest. It clenches in my stomach. My hands go like this.
Excellent. Wonderful.
Vision goes very blurry. I feel like, yes, I put a blanket over my eyes, like fuzzy.
Wonderful. Can you feel how it, I mean, doing this, right?
Yeah.
I can imagine how it makes sense. Like there's something that yeah, this should work, right? This should do it. You block everything out as a way of keeping it out. Can you get a sense of how that it's coherent? It makes sense.
Yeah.
Hold that, and then also remember what happened with the sibling, right? Where you could see, well, actually, this just gave the sibling free pass to continue. Again, these are two different ways, right? They both make sense, but they are, they don't match. So how is it to just hang out a little bit with this discrepancy?
Yeah, it feels okay, actually. It kind of feels surprisingly safe, which is a surprise because it ought not to. That's what comes up. But it feels surprisingly safe. And then, as you mentioned, the sibling sort of felt a welling up. And I think it's sort of emotional.
Yes.
Something that's maybe melting, but also maybe anger, I think.
Good.
Just the sort of being railroaded.
Yeah.
Not just the sibling, I think it over and over.
So I think the first thing you said, I just want to dwell a little on that.
Sure.
You, part of you predicts this shouldn't feel safe. Right? They should not feel safe. Yet your experience is it does.
Yeah, it did. Specifically, as I was able to just sort of see it, the sort of sense of not merging in it, just knowing that if I can observe it, that I'm not in it, or something allowed me to feel, yeah, I feel safer. Yeah, it felt okay.
Yeah.
It feels safer to have my eyes open, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Not to like this.
That's interesting, right? You close your eyes, you tighten your fist to keep everything out to get some sense of safety. And now you say, well, actually, I feel safer with my eyes open. I feel safer seeing what's there. What's happening now?
Well, I think the truth is also it keeps stuff down, you know, keeps the feelings down, huh? No, I'm here in a group setting. It's not, I don't go near this stuff, Klaus, in groups. No, like my therapist might hear it. About so it's sort of we're kind of circling around very difficult stuff, which, you know, I just is probably one of those things, right? Like it's probably right at the fucking heart of what I'm avoiding.
And you know? The prediction is coming up. It's not gonna feel safe to look at that. Yet right a moment ago you said, but actually what you experience is you feel safer looking.
Yeah.
So there's something about what you predict and what you experience that doesn't match.
Yeah, and it comes and comes. I can see it and then it goes and see it and it goes and it's like this.
Good.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So just hang out with that discrepancy, right? I think it should not feel safe, but it does. It should be safer to close my eyes, but actually I feel more safe with the eyes open. Thanks. Good. Other sharings from this one? Yes, Alex and then Michelle.
Yeah, I had an interesting kind of second layer come up in the inquiry, because the one that came up, I wasn't really surprised by. It was Free's response to being asked what I want or what I like. So like I need to make a lot of decisions with, like moving and sort of arranging my life the way I want it nowadays, that it's sort of mine to arrange. And I often find that when I'm just even asked sometimes about very benign things, I don't know, it can even be like, what do you want to eat, or where do you want to be for this, or something like that. And I freeze. It's exactly that. It's sort of a, I'm not supposed to want, I'm not supposed to kind of like anything or have input into. And the first thing that came up was kind of familiar. It's like, oh, well, it's unsafe. It's, being seen, attracting attention, kind of being scrutinized, some feeling of being destroyed, or, and I've encountered those. But then the next thing that came up was around, actually, it's better not to know what you want. Because, like, once you know, you can, like, shove it back in the, like the whole thing about being sort of blending into the wall and being invisible is not going to work if you actually know what you want.
Wonderful.
And that was, yeah, that's not too familiar.
No. But the moment you hear it, is there something in you that goes like, this makes sense? The moment I know what I want, what's the risk? It ruins my capacity for being invisible. And if I'm not invisible, what I
Then
can
all
be a
that
target.
other stuff comes up, yeah.
Exactly.
No, it does make sense, actually.
Yes, good. So to a part of you, this makes a lot of sense. And it makes me curious. Have you ever so you say let's see, we need the it's if you know what you want, you can't be invisible, and then you can become a target, right? So it's not safe to know what you want there.
Well, become a target, but also something about like taking up space, resources, attention,
Wonderful,
just,
excellent. Have you ever experienced that you or somebody else took up space and resources by not knowing what they wanted?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, actually, that happens with me a lot, because when people start like, then they really focus on trying to get it out of you and being like, well, what about this, or what about that, or how about we try this, or it's like very uncomfortable.
So what's happening now, right? Makes you laugh thinking about this.
Yeah, actually, it reaches the levels of exactly that. It's like, ah, this is the attention I didn't want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a part of you has that really convinced, right? I have to forget what I want. That's the way to make things easier for everybody else, right? I can just be invisible. And now you say, well, actually, my God, those people who don't know what they want, how much attention they, and resources take up by everybody else trying to figure out what they want for them, right?
almost makes me wonder if it's like a covert way of actually getting attention that probably some part
I don't think so. I don't think so. A lot of the things that we learn, because it makes sense, right? On the surface, it makes sense. If you don't know what you want, everybody else can just decide and you don't bother anybody, right? It makes sense. It's just as you grow up and you know and understand more about human interaction, you go like, hang on a sec, there's a flaw in this learning. Yet the learning, if it happens early, it doesn't get updated.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all. It's like a pillar of what you've learned about life. And you know, you don't go back and revise everything all the time. Certain things you just rely on and you go like, we don't have to go back to that. Now what we just did was like, well, actually, I think we discovered that some of your programming there is questionable.
Yeah. Questionable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you feel now? Do you know?
I don't actually kind of feel lighter and looser somehow. It's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
And so what would you like to do now?
I just froze. Thanks.
Yeah, we need to test it, right? We need to test it.
I would like to conclude now. Thank you very much.
So you felt the freeze response when I asked you?
I did.
Yeah, but it cracks you up. Why do you laugh at it?
Well, because it just worked like you know, like this. We just talked about it. We just looked at it. And then you asked that question and I was like, ah.
So let me just point out something to you, right? If you really believed it, it wouldn't have cracked you up.
No.
Right? Now you think, oh, that was this was funny that this tick was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep letting it work, right? There's something that really holds this belief. And it's probably done a ton of good for you to have this belief over the years. And at the same time, you see, but there's something that just doesn't, it doesn't match my present day experience. And it's, yeah. It, and keep enjoying the humor of that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. Michelle, you had your hand up as well.
Yeah, just to say that I had a really kind of big emotional response to this inquiry. Mm-hmm. I ended up blubbering like a baby in front of an auntie, mm-hmm. having to kind of gather myself. But I think that's because there's things that I could think around freezing that are kind of, you know, kind of normal or just easy situations, but then the biggest one that I freeze about is that when I see my biological father and when I'm out and about because he's unwell and it's unpredictable, and I then have like I have so many emotions that come up. I freeze and then I hide. I've hid behind a shelf before and then kind of was like laughing that I was doing it, but knowing that I didn't feel okay doing this at the same time. And so many different emotions that I think actually it was just really good to do this exercise to realize how much of an impact that it has on me. And what you said to Sol, and even some of the bits you were saying for Alex really resonated, because I think I run to get control and close my eyes and control the narrative and think be squash all the emotions so that I'm not affected. But in reality, if I just open my eyes, I'd probably be way less affected and not completely run over by it and so emotional. Mm-hmm. And feel lots of like love and compassion and understanding and all that stuff that I can in certain situations, but just when it's in public, I don't know what happens, but I'm terrorized and terrified. So, yeah. But it's just so conflicting that I don't even know where to start, really.
I'm curious, what's your relationship? You said it's your biological father, right?
Yeah.
I guess when you say biological, really that says something have about
them. Anymore.
Huh?
Yeah, he was in my life up until about 19, and then my grandmother died and he had basically a total breakdown, really, I would say, if some yeah. description.
Yeah. Mm. And then since then you haven't had much contact with him or?
No, I've softened over the years. So we send each other texts on important, it's like my birthday next week, so I'm sure I'll get a text. I always text him on my birthday and mm-hmm. Christmas and like love from afar, if that makes sense. Yeah. But I don't even talk to my best friend about this. It's buried. Yes. I'm so surprised I'm bringing it up in front of a group tonight.
Oh, okay, but that's good, yeah. And
you don't have to answer by the way or anything.
I
don't normally get emotional during inquiry, so it's just like shit. Where's all this come from?
Yeah, no, but I mean it's important, right? There's a reason why it comes up now. What was the answer when you asked yourself what's the risk if you don't freeze, if you don't hide behind the shelf?
I think that it's almost like once the cat's out the bag, the cat's out the bag, you know?
What kind of cat?
The fact that I can't probably put a plaster or over my feelings around it and pretend or kind of that I'm not exposed, and that's emotionally exposed and then also exposed. I just can't control anything. I have no control.
And what are your emotions around it?
Well, I feel sad that I've done it, but I also feel like I protected myself. But I feel, so then I feel guilty. And I mean, I still feel shaky.
So when you say you feel sad that you've done it, done what?
Hidden,
yes. But there was a reason you hid. So I'm curious about the reason you hid. That's like a freeze, right? It's like I'm hiding behind this shelf. What would you have risked if you hadn't hidden?
I think being able to control my emotions.
Yeah, so if you hadn't hidden behind the shelf, he might have seen you there, right? I guess we hide in order not to be seen.
Yeah.
If he had seen you, yeah, what would have happened? What's the risk? Would he have said hello? Then what?
That just all these emotions will come flooding.
And what are the emotions that will come flooding?
Everything. Worry, sadness, um, hurt, a bit of nostalgia,
yes,
love, but kind of anger at the same time.
Wonderful. So it's not any particular emotion. It's lots of emotions. It's more that there's a lot of emotionality, that this wave of emotionality.
What's... And I have to face that. Like I have to, I'm like flooded.
Yes.
You know, what's... and then I can't decide what emotion to feel or kind of.
Good. So if you cannot figure out which emotion to feel, you're just flooded. What's the risk? What will happen if you just
allow? I'll just cry 1,000 days.
Sure, but what's the bad thing about that?
I think that I just have to feel the situation.
Now you're thinking about what you should do to solve it. I want to know what the problem is, right? You don't say, if I see the guy and he sees me, all of these emotions are going to come flooding and I'm going to be flooded with that and that's fine, right? No. You say, I'm going to be flooded and that would, I absolutely want to avoid that. I'm still not clear on what is the risk. Will it rupture the relationship? Will it break your self-image? Will it, like, I don't know. I'm completely guessing here. So I'm completely in the dark. What would be the problem with being flooded with intense and many different emotions? Flooded with emotionality. You can try
to think
set, like what, this is really like, what's the risk of being flooded with emotionality?
I think that I would feel responsible, or there's something about having him back into my life that I would feel responsible for kind of like helping and fixing it or something like that. I don't fully know.
Good.
But that's kind of coming up, is that,
so if you get flooded with emotionality, somehow that will lead you to having responsibility that you prefer not to have.
Yeah.
How is that link made? How does emotionality lead to responsibility? The one that cares the most has the responsibility. What, how is it?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
No. So I'd invite, but you see that, you see the question is clear, right? You can see it's not a particular, it's not like I'm afraid of feeling anger, or I'm afraid of feeling sadness, or I'm afraid of feeling hurt, right? It's being flooded with emotionality regardless of what emotion it is. It's just that it's many emotions and lots of them. That worries you.
I think the one thing I can identify with is that I feel shame, yes, in a public setting.
Now we're getting somewhere.
But I get the risk of the shame. And then the other one is that, yeah, there is this, if I speak to him, there's a risk of my love coming out. And then that makes me feel like I need to do something.
Yes. Wonderful.
Like, I love him from afar, but I'm blocking loving him up close.
Yes. Because there's something about, if you are close to him and the love comes out, you will take on responsibility for something. And it's somehow... not my which is not your responsibility, and somehow you learned that you burn yourself when you do that, right? Something bad happens when you take responsibility. Love compels you to take responsibility, but when you do, something bad happens.
Only when it comes to him. It's not like a general rule that I have.
No. but there's something about him. Because there are many things that you can take responsibility, which is kind of okay to take responsibility. There's also things that you sometimes take responsibility for your friends. And you might say, well, technically it might not be the healthiest thing to take on responsibility that isn't yours, but it's also not a disaster. Mm. But with him, you take responsibility for something that somehow is really bad to take responsibility for or has severe consequences. When you take responsibility for that, do you have a sense of what it is?
I don't know.
Good. Let's pause here. You understand the question, right? The line of inquiry. Because I think the next inquiry will also speak more to this. This is why I suggest that we just pause here and see if it something more comes up with the next inquiry. But you get the line of inquiry, right? We are uncovering you. You're predicting a risk. If I don't hide behind the shelf, first thing that's going to happen is I'm going to be flooded with all these emotions. And then something else is going to happen. Maybe it has to do with responsibility. Maybe it has to do with shame. Maybe those two are related. You're not quite sure what it is that you believe the risk is. That's important but this is really the question. This is the inquiry. What exactly, you feel there's a risk, but you can't quite put into words what the risk is. Keep an open invitation for the part of you that feels the risk to formulate in pictures, in words, in feelings, in sensations, communicate to you somehow. You're listening and you'd like to know what is the risk. And it might take a little while to find the words, to define the risk. But this is the inquiry.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah, so I hope you see the pattern. Like we're looking at these parts of us that freeze, and then we want to listen to them and understand what are the risks they are seeking to mitigate by freezing. Right? This is the way we work. Let's do a 10-minute break and come back 5 minutes too, and then we will look at the second inquiry. Good.